IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of All Things Policy. I'm Shreya Ramakrishnan, a program manager at the Takshashila Institution, and I'm joined by Dr. Y. Nityanandam, who heads the Geospatial Research Program at the Takshashila Institution. And today we hope to discuss recent developments in India's national navigation and mobility landscape, current systems, proposed improvements, and trends to look out for. The Indian highways hold a strong symbolic presence in our country's collective imagination, and this has resurfaced in countless ways. And over the years, there have been a lot of overhauls in our highway road networks, and they've had a positive impact on the overall navigation and mobility in our cities. But very recently, the National Highway Authority of India, NHAI, from here on, announced an upcoming pilot of new GPS-based tolling systems, which will reportedly eventually replace the current FASTag system. To recount for listeners unfamiliar with how FASTag works and to distinguish it from the proposed new systems, FASTag uses radio frequency identification technology for toll payments, accessed directly from linked prepaid or savings accounts of the users or the toll owner. So this comes as a surprise, since FASTag has been a huge improvement to previous systems, toll collections mechanisms that were used. And it's also well integrated with other complementary systems at this moment from a user point of view as well. So I'd like to ask, Nitya, what are your thoughts on FASTag as a solution? And what are some reasons for this switch?
Hi, Shreya. First of all, it's my pleasure to be on this podcast. And the importance of FASTag, you know, FASTag is, yes, efficient system where, as you said, it is quite easy to top up money on a wallet. And then, it detects money at a particular point, and it is seamless at most of the occasions. And then it actually minimizes the mobility period in people on road. But then it do have certain limitations, and the new system is trying to improve and fill those gaps by making us faster on roads, which means you don't have to wait for the shorter time that we have been waiting for this FASTag on roads. Earlier, as we all know, before FASTag, we used to wait on those toll plazas, and we used to face a lot of queues, and it was a big trouble, and it has taken a lot of our time on the journey. But now the FASTag has reduced it. The intention with the new system is to reduce it further, so it can eventually brings down literally no waiting time on this toll booths. People can walk through this, or even they can cross this at a speed of, let's say, 80 kilometers or 100 kilometers. Whatever is prescribed on the road. So you don't have to stop, but then the job is done. It will automatically detect the charges for toll charges for using that road.
So it looks like there are obvious benefits in terms of speed, and a smoother experience will be ensured. But that said, can you tell us a little bit more about the new GPS-based systems and how that could possibly work?
Yeah. So the new system is a GNSS-based automated system. So people call this as GPS-based system also. But then I would like to clarify it for audience. GPS is one among the navigation system, and GNSS stands for Global Navigation Satellite System. It's nothing but a system of a system which helps to identify location on Earth using the constellation of satellite. It is not just single satellite, it is constellation of satellites which are placed at different positions, which helps to identify anyone's location anywhere on the planet. And also it gives height and other ancillary informations. But for the toll collection system, we will be taking a location information from that navigation system. So GPS is one of that. So we have GPS from United States, and we have GLONASS from Russia, Galileo from European Union, and India has its own regional navigation satellite system that we call it as IRNAS. Now we are moving towards an automated system compared to the FASTag, which is a mechanical sticker which is placed on your windshield, and then it is recorded. And then people make sure that you are there physically. But now this is something automated in which the chips which are placed or a small device, it is known as OBD, onboard device, which is kept inside the car, helps you to identify that you are on that geofence zone. What is mean by geofence zone? Geofence zone is something where an imaginary fence created on the toll area. For people who is not aware of geofence, I would like to quote an example. The GPS or GNSS devices that we all use on our mobile phones are not 100% accurate. There is an error of, let's say, a 10 meter on a regular front. But then when we are seeing that 10 meter distortion, what does it mean? It shows that you are on the middle of the road, but you are not actually on the middle of the road. You may be distorted, 10 meters any side of that particular actual location. But then what you can see in your navigation, it is seamless, whether on Google Maps or Map My India apps, you can see yourself rightly placed in the middle of the road. So how it is feasible? It is feasible through a thing called geofencing. It assumes when you are traveling at a speed of 60 kilometers, 40 kilometers on a linear way, it presumes that you are on that particular road. That is why it is keeping you, positioned on the road continuously. So this technology is called geofencing, which is an imaginary fence which is created on a particular area of interest. Now, all these tolls junctions would be created as a geofenced region. So which means it is a fenced area. The moment you enter into that fenced area, it is that you have your toll collection process will begin from there. And the onboard device that you have on your own cars or vehicles will help to identify that you are in that, the geofence region. So there is a GPS or GNSS chip which helps to identify your location, and there should be a GSM or mobile operator SIM that helps you to transmit your location to the system, and then accordingly your money will be detected from the bank account. So the important thing is it is not going to be valid. Maybe it is more directly detected from your bank accounts. And then even if there is any chance of error in this case, you have something called ANPR. Those are automatic number plate recognition systems, which includes a camera. Those cameras can actually look into the car numbers and then double check the values if there is any errors on that.
I relate so much to the idea of GPS not being accurate all of the time. And it's so interesting to learn about geofencing. I'd love to know more about it. I also know that in your recent op-ed, you wrote about this new system in detail. So can you tell us a little bit about what are some limitations of this GPS-based system of toll management?
Thank you, Shreya. In fact, I encourage people to go through that op-ed which we have written on the toll collection system for New Indian Express. We'll give that link in this podcast episode at the end. What actually I have commented is about the challenges that we face in current FASTag system, despite it is being called as a seamless system, and the challenges that we are going to face with a new system in place from March 2024 onwards. Now, it is quite common to say like any system which is introduced will have its own challenges, and it will take their own sweet time for people to get adapted. In fact, I would like to recall here, people, we have taken 4 years to adapt to the simple fast tag system that requires, you know, a sticker to be placed and a wallet to be connected on it. But then this is something slightly different and it will take time. So my broad comments on that, Oped, about the new system is, one, we are very fast to move to the new system because the government has introduced and they've said we'll be rolling out from March 2024 onwards. In my opinion, it is really quick because we are not mentally prepared and our vehicles are not prepared. Not every vehicle has the GNSS devices and there's not enough of smart devices, something called onboard devices available on the market. And we don't know how it works. We don't know how we are going to buy it. Given the circumstances, I felt it was too early to say that we'll be rolling out that system before elections in the country. One, which will, in my opinion, it will create too much of chaos. Second, the system do have its own limitation. We have seen like, okay, if there is an error in a GPS-based system, it will be automatically adjusted by the ANPR cameras. But both the system do carry certain amount of errors. For say the GPS or GNSS system has its own errors in a sense. Generally, when you use this for navigation, at times you get a message, something called GPS signal lost. It happens when you are passing through somewhere called GPS denied environments. Suppose if you are in a thick canopy, suppose you are in between dense traffic junction, or if you are below the building where the GPS signals are difficult to reach, because GPS or GNSS works on a principle where you need to get minimum of satellites among the constellation of satellites, and those are need to be oriented on a desired positions in order to get accurate location. So every time you get a latitude and longitude value in a GPS or GNSS device, it doesn't mean that it is accurate, and it takes time to fix its position. So while the technology improves, this can be fixed. However, it takes time, let's say 15 seconds, 20 seconds to fix its own position. This commonly you can see it in your maps. You know, when you suddenly turn on location access while using a map, you can see a large circle to begin with, and then slowly it's narrowed down to a pretty small circle, and that is a process which is happening at the backyard where the GPS is trying to fix its position and accuracy is keep on improving when the circle gets smaller in size. Now this is about GPS, where this will say that you are here, but then even if you are a little away from that point, it may wrongly presume you are in that location. There is a chance. And second is the quality of the devices. The devices has to measure it continuously, because it is a device which runs, the GPS position needs to be continuously taken care, and then it has to be that accurate. And we are not sure whether we are going to use Indian regional navigation satellite system for this purpose, or we are going to use GPS systems, or we are going to use a combination of navigation systems that we all use in our phones. We have 3, 4, 5 navigation systems which are combinedly helping us for better navigation on mobile phones. It is not clear about this part. Second is about ANPR. ANPR is a pretty good technology when we have things in certain conditions, especially when we have number plates which are standardized, like HSRP plates, which we are all trying to get our plates changed in different parts of countries these days, which is enforced. But then with the current stage, we could able to sense not many vehicles on the roads are shifted towards the HSRP plate. What is this ANPR is all about? ANPR is about having a specific cameras which can look at the number plates even when the vehicle is going at a very high speed. But then it do have challenges, especially during the dawn time. So ANPR could able to solve it. And within that, a different kind of cameras are there. And then whether the existing cameras are useful in sorting out this is a question. We need to go for a set of specific cameras. And then the ANPR can recognize the number plates. However, if it is standardized, it is error-free. If it is not standardized, let's say if there is a number plate which is written in a different script, then ANPR may also give you a wrong answer. In addition, if there is a mud, if you are driving on an Indian road or in a rainy season, if there is mud which is splitted on this number plate, then also ANPR may take it as a wrong number. So, and then eventually the money will be detected for the number it pursued on the system. And then, you know, it is more like people won't be aware at times. You know, currently we have wallets. Luckily, we know and we recharge if and when we require. If we top up for 500 rupees, we know how much it is deducted, how many tolls we have passed. Suppose, imagine if it is taken from your bank account and if there is no message and if there is no intimation to the user for 35 rupees, which is detected on a particular road, then it is more like you'll be missing out that money. And it will be a complicated grievances procedure. So it is just to say, right now, with the information we have in hand as an, you know, as a common people, it is unclear how this system going to make it more seamless. But then it is necessary for the people who introduced to elaborate on it and elucidate people on how this is going to work and what are the things which are taken care. Perhaps by doing so will actually help all of us to get prepared for the system. That was the intention and that was the thing discussed in the opinion editorial.
Yeah, I understand. It sounds like there are a lot of variables at play here. There are also the limitations of these two new systems that will also play into how efficient the toll collection is. And overall, there remains a lot to be seen. But I also want to know if it sounds like there is a lot of supervision that will still be required in terms of people to manage these two new systems and to make sure, you know, everything's going smoothly. So can you contrast that with FASTag and for us?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Shreya. So, you know, when FASTag was introduced, right? So we all under a presumption like it should take care of its on its own. But then what we are seeing more when we are, you know, fading away from the initial period, now we are seeing more and more human presence are required despite having a FASTag, despite having a automated RFID reader. But then why it is required? Because the equipments are not functioning properly. And this human resource is required to, you know, to use handled RFID readers. They bring it closer to your FASTag reader to make it possible. But then this human element is always required, but it is minimized in many of the cases. Whereas the new system is something where it actually cuts down the requirement of people. And at least in transition phase, we may require more people and we may require the number of people that we have today. But then once the system is familiar with the people, then we can expect a less number of people. But we can't say at this stage whether we can go with zero people, zero staffs on the ground. But we require a certain number of people because of these challenges. Even with FASTag, you can see at times the FASTag readers are not working. Then, you know, you are allowed to go. And then modern challenges comes in when people even takes picture of vehicles and then they do entries in the back end in the later period during festival times and others, which is also happening. So more and more human interventions are again there despite being the purpose of in minimizing the human efforts. At times, because of malfunction, because of less maintenance of these instruments, the human presence are required.
Right. So it sounds like people will be needed on ground to not only manage these systems in transition, but to also cover for any gaps that or limitations that these systems will present as we go along and implement these solutions. Are there any examples of these GPS-based systems being used in other parts of the world successfully?
Yeah, this system has been used in different places, for say in Belgium and in European Union. Many cities in European Union, it has been used extensively. In fact, they use this to charge people for using on roads in order to, you know, be sensitive to climate, and they charge people for using it as you are emitting carbon. Now, this is something, a different thing. However, the explanation of the system is very clear to, you know, the larger people. People are aware how the system works, and then, you know, you're familiar with it. Maybe we take a couple of years to get along with that. And different countries use different systems. Like certain countries use a different kind of systems, like a simple system that is being used in Japan, which is like you keep a device in front of your car and that will transmit high frequency waves, especially when you cross at particular toll. So where here you does not need to reveal who you are and where you are on the road and things like that. But then the proposed system is something which is which can give more information than the toll information. Like it is not just the toll collection thing. It also helps people to make payments appropriately, in a sense, whether you have used the full length of the toll road or whether you have used half of that in a current situation, you will be asked to pay the toll charges. Whereas with the new system, you can pay for the number of length that you have used, which means if the road length is of 10 kilometers, if you use 10 kilometers of the toll road, your payment would be based on that. But if you have used lesser than that, accordingly, the payment has to be adjusted. So that is an advantage of a new system because it tracks your position, you know, every timestamp, and then it collects the information and then it sends back to the database. So it knows where you are every minute, whether you have used the full road, whether you have used half of the road. So this system is having multiple benefits other than just toll collection process.
Stay tuned to All Things Policy. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Right. So while it is more accurate in that it collects very specific information, and that's beneficial for travelers who are not traveling the whole length of that distance, it's also slightly invasive, possibly, in that it collects more information than is about than is required. So I'd also like to know, speaking about you spoke about citizens around the world using these kinds of systems, what are some road etiquette that travelers in India will have to imbibe to use these systems effectively?
So, the biggest challenge is if this is used only for toll, it's perfectly fine. But then there's also a fear this could, reveal the privacy of the users. And the data is quite good where one can use it for understanding a driving pattern or behavior of a person. And eventually, I can decide an insurance premium of a person or even the vehicle insurance because your driving pattern and behavior is recorded. And it is available for somebody to study at a back end, especially when you have big data in place. And people can make decisions by using these data sets. One, that is something, people can make use of it. And second, the business analytics, which is built around this kind of high valuable traffic data, is something is immenseful. So people can make multiple businesses, appropriate businesses, based on this information. But my main fear is, if this information is available to set of people, set of government agencies, it still makes sense. But then, I don't want to, anybody to be tracked every second, and that too with all my information, including my KYC information, which carries Aadhaar information, and also my vehicle number, the vehicle make, the kind of distance I have used, and then my origin and my destination. I don't want to transmit it every minute or every second to somebody else, which is something is a big concern of this new technology. But then in addition to this, we also worries if this information will be in the hands of people on the ground. So one side it is said, this is a system which can bring the toll collection system effectively, and it can improve it up to, the double the figure of what we are collecting it today. which means there is a chance of error in the present system that is widely acknowledged. And the second thing is, at the present stage also, despite issuing the FASTag, this toll people, toll collection contractors are not ready to lose even a penny, even if the mistake is on their side in a present circumstances. Given the situation, if an automated system is in place, and I'm sure they don't want to lose again a penny by allowing any of the cars for malfunctioning of any of this new device or the NPR cameras, but they still try to find some other way to take their money which is designated for. Given the situation, how government is going to control this kind of wrongdoings at different end? And because the grievancing systems are so complex at this stage, for say FASTag, if there is a discrepancy on the readings, suppose people have told me they identified, they have detected money for crossing a particular toll, but they were sleeping at their house midnight and their cars are parked right out at the gate. But this is a scenario one. The scenario two is, the vehicles are made double entries wrongly at times. And many of this incident happens and we have been hearing it again and again. Now, when you try to, make this grievances, the most of the time you ended up reaching out to a particular number and there's not even an email of the project directors of each of the toll roads. And then the other set of grievances, you are always recommended to complain it to this FASTag providers. And I expect any complaint related to FASTag, I should be reaching one channel of the FASTag providing agency or the governing agency. But then here you will be diverted to ICICI FASTag, HDFC FASTag, Paytm FASTag, and any other FASTag that we use. So few are doing it effectively, few has helplines, but then many of the FASTag providers, they didn't even have the helpline. So it is, you'll be communicating with robot, it's very complex responses at times, and ended up people feel like, I don't want to get into this, it's okay, I'll lose 35 rupees or 40 rupees. This is something where we can see, even if you notice there is a discrepancy happening there. It is an automated system with bank account, I wanted it to be more transparent and simple, grievance mechanism where people can approach and make use of it. Otherwise, it would be, spending time on doing this. Despite making such complaints, also, you won't get the money back in most of the cases. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes, especially when there is a delay in queues or when there is a waiting time in FASTag, such queries are not easily addressed and you won't be laid off from the charges in general.
The grievance redressal system sounds extremely chaotic and I wouldn't wish this on anyone in that it sounds long drawn, less transparent, very dispersed. And to think that an email option is not available, so you can't leave a trail of your complaints around. So this sounds extremely inefficient. And it sounds like going forward, if they're adopting these new technologies for toll management, an overhaul of these or to review these grievance redressal systems is also on the books for them. That said, I also wanted to get your thoughts on mobility in general. Apart from one of the reasons why the GPS system sounds attractive to decision makers is that increased speed and a smoother experience. What are some other characteristics of mobility, according to you, that will help with overall navigation on our roads and highways?
Yeah, this is something, very interesting to, answer. You have many other components for better navigation, right? It is not just toll collection system, which can save some of your time. But then you have better roads and we are constructing better roads. And the new roads are being introduced. And it is more like not just a road. It is about the quality of road also. The kind of material it is being used and the kind of barriers you create. And it is, we have seen in practical cases when the barriers are created, when it is made as a freeway, people can go at a higher speed. But then if it is, if you have so much of crossings and things like that, you know, it will actually consume time. Eventually, that is the reason why we have expressways, right? Where less of barriers, less of interventions, and you can go at, you know, at a high speed. When you have crossings for villages and crossings for towns in between, you have certain speed breakers over there. You have barricades over there, which eventually reduce your time. So that is why we are building new and new highway speed waves. So you have seen projects which can help you to reach, let's say, Bangalore to Chennai in 2 hours. Those are some of the projects which are in pipeline, which actually helps. But then it's not about just roads. As I said, you need to have, let's say, in terms of linearity and in terms of the geometry of roads, you need to have more straighter roads without much of bends in order to make it, you know, to keep your speed. Firstly, if you really want to reach from 6 hours of journey from Bangalore to Chennai to 2 hours of journey, that is what we are expecting by the end of this year, you really need to make your average speed twice from the current average speed. Let's say from 50 kilometers per hour, an average speed, to 110 kilometers average speed approximately. Something of that sort is, you know, very, very challenging, because we're talking about an average speed. And to maintain 110, we need to calculate how much speed we need to go on the roads at every time. And then whether our vehicles are equipped for that, that is the second question. Does it carry all the safety mechanisms? Though we have improved over a period of time and the vehicles are asked to keep the airbags as much as possible, but then I still believe the current roads are not equipped for that kind of speed to maintain. But then the new roads may be useful in reaching that speed. And then more importantly, all of this are the elements which are associated with the mechanism that we use, the mechanical part that we use. But then there is something where the behavior of people needs to be, you know, adapted for this. You need to follow lanes, you need to follow certain principles on road, then only you can maintain that speed to achieve more improved mobility on roads. So while the government is taking all these efforts, it is equally important to bring up the, you know, what you can say, the capacity to be built for the behavioral changes that people has to undergo to accustom to this kind of, you know, the roads and the principles need to be followed on these roads.
Yeah, I understand the overall train of thought that is being followed here in terms of these new systems for increased speed, and generally with also the promises of a faster transit between point A to point B. And there also sounds like there is a fair mix of costs and benefits for the end user here. Just based on everything you've been speaking of till now. To speak more broadly, you also mentioned geofencing earlier, and that sounds very fascinating. Are there any applications of geofencing as a solution?
So talking about application of geofencing is something where it has application in many fields. For say, while navigating on waters, not only roads, like, you know, there's no physical boundary on international waters or territorial waters. For that, people use, fishermen especially use this geofenced applications, because if they cross a border intentionally, they are penalized, and we can see a lot of incident. One good solution for that is carrying a GPS instrument on board, and then they identify their boundaries. Because that is something where it can helps to locate where you are and whether you are inside the boundary or whether you are on the borders. This is one application. But then predominantly on roads, it is generally used, as I said, to keep you on road. Otherwise, let's imagine you are going on a very narrow bridge. Most of the time we go through that in Bangalore. You know, the bridges are not wide enough. And those cases, if you move towards something called an autonomous cars in future, so if there is an error in GPS without this, you know, so-called geofencing, which are fenced only for that particular road area. And if any of this error happens, then you would be out of the bridge, obviously, right? But in order to prevent that situation, the navigation keeps you all the time on the bridge just because it uses a proximity algorithm and how it uses the geofencing tools, because the geofencing is fixed for the roads. Though your readings are slightly away from the road, it brings you back and shows you that you are navigating on the road. This would be useful for autonomous cars in future, because when you're moving towards something called autonomous cars, we need to have a good of geospatial data that has the ground reality in the 3D replica. So if you have a perfect digital twin, where India is trying hard to get it, and it's a vision of Prime Minister to implement it across the country in next decade. So when we get that digital twin, which is a digital replica of what we have it on ground, it should have the small curvatures in an appropriate manner. Even I remember some of my students are working a couple of years back about identifying the challenging nodes on road, especially which is helpful for autonomous cars. People are working from India to understand how these roads are challenging and how the roads on reality is rightly depicted on the GIS database. Because if you have a turn of 60 degrees, and then if a GIS digitized information is showing 75 degrees, then there is a big challenge for an autonomous car to make use of it. Though it uses the onboard devices like LIDAR and other solutions to make it correct on the ground by understanding the obstructions and understanding the road types, it also requires a high accurate GIS database. GIS stands for Geographic Information System. When you have it, it makes autonomous cars easy on the road. So if you don't have it, then it is challenging for us to implement autonomous cars in future as well. So it's more like we can import cars and we can make cars within the country. But if your roads are not good enough for such detailing, then it won't be useful for us on the ground.
It's interesting you speak about autonomous cars, because that was going to be related to my next question. Just as a final question, Nitya, in terms of geospatial technology, what improvements do you see for urban mobility going forward?
This technology is having wider application, as you all know. That's why we have something called National Geospatial Policy also a year ago. But now, especially for transportation, especially for urban mobility and for mobility at large, this technology can help to monitor and map the traffic pollution, and especially the reason for that. You know, when you see traffic as a challenge, it is not just a single entity or a single layer of information. We can see it from a different perspective. You need to look at what is an urban structure around it, what kind of road networks exist, why this problem is creating on a particular node. For that, you need to have so many layers of geospatial data. So in regular forms, other than GIS, it's quite difficult to understand the comprehensive nature or the nexus of this kind of issues. Whereas GIS can help you to understand different layers, and it helps you to fix it. Suppose if there is in a particular junction which is always getting dense traffic and congestion, so you can see what is the causative factors. Can you divert the roads to another side? Sometimes it comes from human knowledge, but then you require this kind of sophisticated tools to make it so simple. And the human knowledge will help at a particular time when you are planning leisurely. But then when you wanted to do an emergency planning, suppose you wanted to find a route for an ambulance in an emergency situation, and we know there is a traffic congestion on this place, the best way to find is instead of human knowledge, where you can find it with the help of automated tools, especially GIS helps you to do that. And not only GIS, remote sensing data are helpful in understanding the different kind of challenges on ground, the more detailed information about the surfaces and roads. In addition, people can also make use of drones to monitor these highways, the potholes, damages, and other damages on roads. Currently, we use vehicles which goes around and monitors those challenges. And if you use precisely with the help of drones, it can go around quickly and tell us only when there is a change in surface and so on. When there is a challenge on road, it can automatically report back whatever the changes on the ground is required. So not only this, many more. And while having this, we can have efficient roads and which can benefit people also. I would like to talk about this more, but we know that today we're running out of time and we can end it here, and we'll definitely meet on another occasion to discuss more about it.
This has been a fascinating discussion, Nitya, and we'd love to discuss more about this. Until the next episode, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye. Thanks a lot, Nitya.
Thank you, Shreya.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle, @TakshashilaInst, or our website, takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week: Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.